for average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand people to begin the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with JP Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
Pete's one of the great sports writers right now. I'll say that. As far as knowledge and understanding the game, watching tape, he's, even though he's wrong sometimes, I disagree with his opinions, at least they're educated opinions.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's JP Shadrick.
Here we go, Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jags win in the AFC wildcard playoff game over the Bills. 10-3, the final score. Defense dominant all day. The offense not so much. But they did just enough to get it done.
That's being kind.
And the Jags are headed to Pittsburgh.
They're being kind there. They're being kind.
They did just enough. They did what they had to do.
Not so much.
Well, they didn't do so much, but they did just enough.
Hey, guys, was that a victory?
Yeah, we won, didn't we?
It's a win.
Look at Tony. I knew I'd get him going on that one.
I mean, it's the playoffs. In all seriousness, it's playoffs.
I know. I'm just
in the playoffs. Hey, look, even you admit it doesn't matter how you win in the playoffs.
No,
just
hell
win.
No, you win. And you know what? They played that game like it would be 10-3.
Well, where do you want to start? On how conservative?
Like they played that game like it would be 10-3.
On how conservative the offensive game plan was?
Oh my God! Awful, awful game plan. Awful. You disagree, Tony?
No,
I read through some of your comments this morning on your Boselli thing that you're sponsored to, and you kind of lit them up too.
I said that I was going to say the same thing. I said it this morning. I'll say it again. I thought it was a very conservative, too conservative of a game plan. Watched the film again this morning. I don't think there was one pass that traveled more than 20 yards.
Yeah, they'll throw some screens now.
There was nothing downfield. Our screen game went for negative yards.
Well, I mean, you can only run it back-to-back plays. I mean, my God, they ran the screen game back-to-back plays.
The screen was one of the more – where I got really frustrated yesterday is after the turnover, we went off tackle right, screen, punt from the plus 35.
Terrible. You got to take a shot there.
You have to. You have to take a shot at some point in the game. And that did not happen.
Didn't happen.
Blake was – let me say this about Blake. He was the ultimate competitor, gritty, grinded out, and did whatever he had to move the ball in that game in the second half to find ways to manufacture points, knowing that if they got a lead that the defense would most likely hold up. And I give him a ton of credit. But as a thrower of the football, it was awful.
There was a little talk about wind yesterday in the stadium. Doug Marrone and Blake Bortles mentioned that.
What?
That's what they both said.
It was okay. It was windy, but I played in much stronger winds. Playing, I've never played quarterback, so I guess that didn't really matter. But I don't think it was that windy where it should be affecting you that much.
Tony Romo kept bringing up the wind during the broadcast, though.
They said towards that south end of the stadium especially, it was swirling a lot. So
that's why the passes were off?
That might have had something to do with either that or the plan going that way on offense.
His mechanics were atrocious, though. Awful.
Yeah, the footwork. Listen, Tony Romo would know better than I would. I'll give you that. And Doug was on the field, as was Blake, during the whole game. I was just down there during pregame, and the wind was a factor.
Yeah, it was windy.
It was windy. So, and one end zone was worse than the other. I give them that. I mean, they know. But
still.
He threw for 88 yards.
He ran for more than he threw.
Threw for 89.
Yeah.
That was a vintage game where they didn't want to allow him to do anything on first down because they thought they could win the game 10-3. Period. End of story. Come on. The bottom line is, if they put that kid in those kind of situations again, I don't care how bad he looked, he's going to look just as crappy next week. You can't play football that way, period, end of story.
Well, you can't play like that next week.
Not even that style. They can't play that style.
No.
No.
And we'll get into next week in a second, but I'll just give you a little preview of what I think. And, Pete, you're going to love it. If I was offensive coordinator of this team, I would open it up.
Five wide.
I'm not saying five wide, but I would be aggressive. I'd be attacking downfield. I'd be pressing the football down the field. Listen, you're playing against one of the best offenses. Ben Roethlisberger has been arguably the best quarterback in the second half of the season. You got the best receiver in football. You got the best running back, in my opinion, in football, all around back. You have an outstanding offensive line. And if you go back and look at that first game, it was 9-7 in the third quarter. And in the first half, they marched it down the field. They had three red zone opportunities, only got 9 points. Terrible play calling by Todd Haley. Le'Veon Bell had 15 rushes only in the game. I promise you he'll have 25 plus. And Ben's not throwing five interceptions. And our defense is great. Great defense.
They played great
yesterday. But to think you're going to hold that team to 10 points or whatever you did last time, nine last time?
Yeah, nine.
I don't see that happening. And so I would open it up. When has this team been the best? When they are aggressive on early downs. I would be aggressive. I mean, I would let it go.
Wow, I could swear that you're parroting somebody else who used to say that all the time.
And I would come out with swagger because you know the defense is. That defense is going to come out talking and going at it.
Right. No doubt.
Tony, will you admit you're parroting what I've been saying all year? Just admit that.
No, okay. I'm not going to admit that because that's I think every game's different, and this game is how I feel. And I've said, Pete, I've said for the last 10 weeks they need to throw more on first down.
I know, but you've been parroting me lately.
No, so I would be wide open, and I'd walk out offensively saying, we are here, and we are going to go after you.
All right, so how about this?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Maybe they didn't
open. Because guess what? If you play like this,
you're
not winning. In fact, you're going to get beat bad.
Yeah.
If the Steelers have 19-plus minutes of time of possession in the first half, that is too much to ask of any defense. You could have the 2000 Ravens defense, and it's too much to ask of that group if you're going to be that inept on offense.
The defensive performance yesterday, though, I mean, the all-pro selections for the Jaguars proved why yesterday. Calais Campbell had a big day, of course. Jalen Ramsey with the pick to seal it at the end. A.J. Boye solid on the other side. Telvin Smith had quite a day at the linebacker spot. Those guys just led the way, but throughout the day, shut down this Bills offense. And they had first and goal at the one-yard line, and the P.I. pushed him back.
It's the worst play calling I've ever seen in my life.
But then
run Shady McCoy there?
Why don't you run it three straight times?
My point is, after that point, they didn't have a chance the rest of the day offensively, the Bills.
And if you look at that, Pete, I think it was a called run play. I watched the tape today.
They said today it was an RPO.
Yeah. And he chose wrong.
Those things are starting to annoy me.
I actually put it on the coaching staff. Why would you give your quarterback an option on first and goal on the 1.5 yard line?
There is no option.
It was a bad play.
It's a bad play call. I don't care.
A lot of bad coaching around the National Football League this week.
You're all about that, Pete.
Well, we'll get in the rest of the league later, but I do.
Well, no, but I'm just saying because it happened in this game. That was bad coaching. Doug's not challenging was bad coaching. The inability to open up the offense was bad coaching.
Which one are you talking about?
The foot out. Oh, no, the short. Not the foot out.
Yeah, he was clearly short. They should have. I agree.
Right. And then the Bills, what were they doing at the end of the half? They gave him 3 points.
Yeah, run it three times. Yep. You have a 3-0 lead. Go in.
Force them to use the timeouts.
Force them to use timeouts, and you basically tell your defense, listen, we don't think they can drive in the second half.
Of course.
We'll win a game 3-0 if we have to.
Of course. It was just, and then, you know, we'll get into the rest of the league, but the rest of the league was bad coaching as well. So, look, Jacksonville, you survive in advance, right? That's the motto of the play. Right. But they play like that next week, 33-7. Goodbye.
Mm. The defense, Calais Campbell was a monster.
Especially early in the game, yeah.
Monster.
Yep.
I still don't think they rushed the passer well enough yesterday. There was a lot of time where he was standing in the pocket with a weak.
I agree at times. I agree.
Why is that?
They had some good game plans, though, Pete. Like early, they were chipping. They would chip both ends and would double. And so basically, and then only one guy would be singled. I mean, they were pretty aware of the rush. And
what do you think of their rookie left tackle?
I think Deion Dawkins, I loved him out of Temple. I thought he was outstanding at Temple. I thought he'd be a good pro. I thought he could play guard or tackle. I thought he might be
a right tackle.
I didn't think he'd be that good of a left tackle this early.
Yeah.
He's a good player, I think.
Yeah. I mean, look, for me, everybody points to the Jaguars' run defense, and at times they get over-pursued and pushed out of the play. But for me, the biggest concern yesterday, and I know that when they have two sacks and a couple of hurries in there, I just think there were times when he was standing back there by himself, like looking around the field. If that was another quarterback, he destroys them.
Jeff and I argued this last Thursday night, Pete, and you probably agree with me. They had 55 sacks on the year. I thought the pass rush the first half of the year was dominating. I thought the second half of the year it was good, not great.
Well, but they had 55 sacks, but didn't they get 21 in two games?
20 in two games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that means in the other 14 games, they weren't a great rushing the passer team.
They were good. That's what I said. I thought the second half of the year they were good.
I just, I go back to what I always say about hand on the ground, point him out. He's the guy that's going to get the sack in the key situation that you need. They got a lot of good pass rushers. I don't know if they have that pass rusher.
Not yet, probably.
Times,
not yet, Pete.
No, and a lot of times in this league, you need that pass rusher.
I will say this, though. Those good pass rushers are really effective because, boy, that group covers. My goodness, they cover, Pete. Golly.
Yeah, they're very
good. I mean, they are. I was watching the All-22, and there's just not a lot of room to play around with. I mean, you better have some guts to make some tight throws if you're a quarterback. Now, the guy we're getting ready to go play, he'll press his luck, which I think you'll get a couple hands on ball. You'll have chances this week getting your hands on some balls, and the group is impressive. Jalen Ramsey was dominant yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, early kind of out route.
But even it's zone. I mean, it's going to happen sometimes. You play zone. I mean, one of the most impressive things was on a third and eight, he's in zone. They run a 7-yard out, and any other corner in the league, that guy catches the ball, turns it up, and gets the extra yard. He closes so fast and is so physical. The guy is just has no chance. I mean, he's just hammered. I mean, he is such an impressive player. He is so good. Telvin Smith was outstanding. You know, it was the whole unit. I mean, when you only give up 3 points, it's a great effort. Now, that Bills offense is not very good. Let's not kid ourselves. But take nothing away from the defense. It was dominating. But offensively, oof.
How about the atmosphere here at Everbank Field yesterday?
It was great.
Charged.
It was a packed house. It was rocking.
How'd it look on TV, Pete?
Were there a lot of Bills fans there or not?
Yeah, I bet you there were 10,000 Bills fans would be my guess.
Oh, because they were trying to portray it as a third of the stadium, the Bills fans on Twitter. I said, I don't think so.
No, 10,000 to 15,000 out of 70. No,
it's still pretty good.
Oh, great. They traveled well. I mean, that's a guess. JP, would you say any different?
Closer to 10 than 15.
Joe, what do you think? 10, 15 right around there? Yeah, probably
7 to 10, somewhere in there.
Okay, maybe 10. Let's say top 10 then.
Still good.
Oh, great. They traveled great.
They tailgated pretty well. Yeah.
But
I saw where Micah Hyde sprayed water into the crowd.
Yeah, on his way out.
Yep.
He was being evaluated for a concussion at that point.
Somebody must have said something, but that might not have been the worst thing said on that stadium yesterday. We'll get into that later, maybe, too.
We might, yes. Unique Ngakoue. Hey, we'll come back. We've got plenty to get to tonight, of course, recapping the Jags wild card win from yesterday over the Buffalo Bills. In the second hour, your phone calls, the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night, PFF grades. We'll see if those can make a comeback tonight. See how the Jags offense did in the grading. We'll return with some offensive talk. How can the Jags get it jump-started offensively in Pittsburgh? 2018 season ticket member deposits are available now. Jaguars.com/season tickets. Don't miss out on playoff pre-sales ever again. The best home schedule in team history includes the Steelers, Patriots, Eagles, Redskins, and Jets. A low money deposit of only $100 secures your spot. Visit Jaguars.com/season tickets. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
not ideal for a quarterback. It is what it is. You know, I said earlier, I kind of felt like last week, you know, I didn't run a whole lot. You know, I don't think I ran at all. So, you know, I kind of felt like we lost and got beat without kind of, you know, emptying all our bullets. You know, so I wanted to make sure that whatever happened today, you know, if we were going to get beat or if something bad was going to happen, it was going to be with us, you know, going down swinging and using every option and thing we could. So, you know, I think the win was a factor a little bit going one way. You know, but I thought we did a good job up front, and they did a good job of getting back and getting underneath some routes, so it kind of allowed for me to run a little bit.
Blake Bortles, Jags quarterback, officially 88 yards on the ground yesterday on 10 carries. Kind of got the offense moving a bit. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Brisco, Jaguars Monday. Jags win 10-3. They're on to Pittsburgh.
The one thing he is tough.
Oh,
yeah, Doug reiterated that today. That toughness stands out. He'll take some hits. He'll probably take some hits that he doesn't need to take along the sideline, by the way, just step out of bounds. But he found a way yesterday, Pete.
Yeah, he found a way. But, I mean, look, let's face it. That game doesn't exactly make him or that team probably think about that $19 million next year. I mean, and again, he's got an opportunity this week to go change some minds. That's not a good look for your first postseason game. It just wasn't.
How much do you put on him? How much do you put on Nathaniel Hackett, Pete?
Me, personally, I put it on the game plan because I think I've seen him play. When he plays more up-tempo, he plays better. He gets more confident. He has a tendency to press when he's put in those obvious passing situations. And by pressing, I mean his mechanics wane. The arm gets longer again, the motion, everything goes back to the old ways when he's asked to make plays on third down. And, you know, that's why I was curious to see the drive before the half, because in that situation, you can't put him in those situations, you know? So he got out of the pocket a couple times, and he started to play a little freer. And then I said at halftime, I told some guys in here, I go, one of the things they got to do when they come out at the half is start letting him throw on first down. Well, the first play of that drive, he threw a shot down the middle of the field, and then they kind of went back to what they were for a while there. I think he's one of those kids that just feeds off of being able to play up tempo a little bit.
You know, the other thing, I don't know if it's up tempo. I think it's more just being aggressive.
Well, you know what I mean. But up tempo he does pretty well too. But no, I'm not saying with that defense, there's no need for that anymore. But more open to throwing on first down probably is what I'm saying.
We've said that all year.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a while. I think the other thing, though, Pete, is his footwork from the start was bad. I wonder how much of the tight conservative game plan affected him and made him tight.
Well, you got to remember, it was his first playoff.
And that can be part of it as well. A big moment and everything else. But, I mean, his footwork was not good.
Bad. I mean, his when he was throwing passes, his one foot was pointing to the sideline a couple times.
And everything's off his front foot when he's even in the right direction. So, and we've seen him do throughout the year much better mechanically, but that was not the case yesterday. And so you wonder, is that being tight? Is it, you know, just because of the playoffs, or is it because of a conservative tight game plan that makes how coaches feel, especially with a young team, can translate to the team.
Well, yeah, all that, because
Jeff, we talked about this Thursday. One thing that was always amazing about Tom when we played for him, he'd always get loose in the playoffs.
It was gravy half the time.
But I'm saying he was always more, I mean, he was still a hard ass, but he was more, you know, I don't know if loose is the right word, but it was like, hey, here we go. Let's go.
Let's go. That's why we're here. Let's go.
There was a confidence.
Let's have fun. Right.
But I don't know. You know.
But I think it definitely played into him playing tight.
Grasping at straws is right now is what we're doing. But
no,
something
I don't
has
think we
to,
are.
No, but we're not grasping at straws. I think it's something, but we're trying to figure out what it is. But, you know, regardless of what was the motivating factor or the thing that got him to where he was mentally and everything, which then goes physically for any player, and Blake included, from the start, it just looked out of sorts in the pocket. And there was just They had no rhythm. They got nothing going. The run game is just atrocious.
Yeah, what is going on in the run game? To running backs, at least.
Leonard's under 3 yards a carry yesterday.
Is it the O line? Is it Leonard?
Both. I don't think
is it 50-50 split.
There wasn't a lot of movement, which I was a little bit surprised.
He was in the backfield a lot. It seemed like.
Well, not necessarily. There wasn't a lot of movement. And watching the tape of when the Patriots played them, they did a great job on the three techniques of really double teaming and running power football and moving them off the ball line of scrimmage. The Jaguars did not do that yesterday as well as they have in the past. I did not see any decisive cuts or great cuts by Leonard make anyone miss type of moves.
Was there a play in this first quarter, Tony? Because I could off the TV, it looked like it, where he could have popped to the left and would have had a decent gain after he got like right clear in the first line, and he didn't pop it. And the guy made the play. Am I wrong? It looked like
no.
It on TV.
Pete, I can't put my finger on it exactly, but let me say it this way. And Pete, when you watch great backs, it doesn't have to be blocked perfect. You know what I mean? They make people miss. They see things. They cut back to the backside, or they bounce it when it's when nothing's inside. And they bounce it outside with speed, and they get the corner, and they turn those 1 or 2 yard runs into 3, 4, 5. And even Shady McCoy was doing it yesterday.
Yes, he was.
If you watch Shady run, man, on a bad ankle, there wouldn't be a lot there, but he'd make a little slight cut, turn his body at an angle, and all of a sudden he's falling forward for 3 or 4 yards. You don't see that with Leonard.
I was watching the NFL Network late last night, boy, and I'll tell you what, Deion Sanders lit into to Leonard Fournette. He said he's not the same back he was early in the year when he was looking for the contact and knocking people over and everything else. He pretty much came out and said he thought he's been a different player in the last 6 weeks.
Well, there was the one run up the middle where he got free for a moment and then ran over the safety, right? About 9 yards on that one?
It was 6 yards.
Yep.
The bouncing isn't his thing, by the way. We just showed a play on Jaguars.com. Let's be real about it. He ain't the bouncer. He's got to hit that hole and go, or else it isn't bouncing. And I say that with there are certain runners that just can't bounce it. And he to me, and I know he's done it in the past, but he's Fred Taylor could bounce. Maurice Joseph-Jue could bounce. Yeah, this guy's not a bounce.
He's not that guy, but, I mean, look, so you think of other big backs in the game right now. I mean, Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry just ran for 156 the other day against the Chiefs.
And he,
is he a bouncer?
Well, he
like, bounces too much.
But he subtly, he just looks like he's moving in slow motion. Next thing you know, he's on the edge and
breaking tackles
and making things.
They compared him to Brandon Jacobs. That's not a good comparison.
I agree, Pete. I mean, you watched it yesterday. Is there anything you see where there's guys missing, or when he's one-on-one, or that he's taking 2 yard runs and making him 4 or 5?
No. No.
And I'm not saying the offensive line was great. The tight ends, I don't think, played very well. We got pushed back.
Alexander must have made 90 plays. Yeah, it looked like
it was not very good. A little too soft on the edges. I'm not saying the line was great. I thought AJ Cam played fine, played well. I thought Linder was good. I thought Omame was fine. Cam was okay. He shorts. Anytime we run to the open end to his side, he kind of shortens the corner too much, and it forces the back inside quicker than you probably want him to. There's no stretch there, so he needs to work on that. Parnell was. He gave up a sack, but he was okay. He was fine. It wasn't atrocious where you'd be thinking you're going to average under 3 yards a carry with your backs. So I don't know what it is.
Don't you think they need to try and run some – like, they got him on that option play, and he looked great on that one. The pitch.
But, Pete, because no one touched him until the guy who tackled him.
Right, but I'm saying, don't they need to, like – for me, when he gets the handoff deep in the backfield, he's got a problem because he's not.
Well, what do you want to do?
A decisive runner. Pitch to him sometimes around the edge or something. Try that.
All right. Some option game.
We're not running the
wishbone. We're going to come out in Pittsburgh.
I mean. Well, I saw someone say. I read somewhere on Twitter. They said they should just go into a Wildcat and make Blake the Wildcat and run option out of it.
Well, you know what? He's running better than Fournette is right now.
I don't know.
I just wonder if there's any buyer's remorse right now.
Well, I think that's a conversation after the season, not right now.
Yeah, but I always bring it up now. I know you do. Because I like to stir the pot.
That's what you do, Pete.
If I was on the beat right now, there would be a story in the newspaper this week. What's wrong with Leonard Fournette?
I think it would be a fair article. I think it'd be. I mean, people nationally are asking the question.
True.
I mean, you know what that does, though, Tony? It opens up. If you go to the linemen, they say, well, it isn't us. You go to Fournette and you say, it's them. and then you say, well, is he injured? Or is it a play calling? Or what? There's always somebody to blame. So somebody's going to get the blame in that article at some point. I mean, that's a legitimate story. If I'm in Jacksonville, if I'm a Jaguar fan right now, I want to know what is wrong with Leonard Fournette in the running game. This was a guy against Pittsburgh, the same team you play this week, that went for a 180.
90 and of them, but remember, Pete, 90 of them were on one play.
They count, though.
I understand that. But go look at the yards per carry before that run.
I agree. But still, it's not the same as it was early in the season. It just isn't.
Go look at the yards per carry before that run.
When you draft a guy fourth overall, he's supposed to be special.
Was it fourth or fifth?
Fifth, was it?
Fourth.
Oh, was it fourth?
Fourth, yeah.
Hey, he's supposed to be special.
Let's come back. We'll get into the defense. They had a day yesterday. We'll break it down a little bit further. Check out Jack Hadania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Your calls in the second hour. We're into it now. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Usually in situations like that, 2 minute, and when we're up, the corners we play about 10 yards off, if not more. Two plays before then, Peterman's first play. I think that's his name. I'm not sure. We were playing the same coverage, played off, and he threw that quick little hitch route on AJ's side. They lined up in the same formation, just flipped, so they were on my side. And I figured they're probably running the same route. Took like a little read step, and as soon as he threw it, I just broke.
Jalen Ramsey, straight facts on the pick yesterday to seal the win. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shattuck, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco.
He is really good, by the way.
Great play.
Hey, Pete, you think the Cowboys wish they'd have maybe picked him instead of Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, just like I preached the entire draft, which is why I gave that Ezekiel Elliott pick a bad grade. And it all goes, and we're coming full circle on that now. You think the Jaguars would mind they have picked somebody else at number four?
Well, we'll talk about that in the offseason. Let's not get too negative here. We did win, Pete.
Well, but I said it when he was drafted. I wouldn't draft the back that high.
I said the same thing on our Thursday night show. We talked about it, that I would not, if I was in charge, I would not take a back.
No.
In the first round. I wouldn't. But I'm not in charge. And was Leonard Fournette
the two best rookie backs this year? Both came in the
third round.
What Kamara came in? What Kamara was the
third round? Late third.
Yeah, that's right.
Early third
and
was
Hunt. Was a third round. Yeah.
And by the way, I think Kamara is better than Hunt. I think Kamara should be the NFL Rookie of the Year.
I do too. I think Kamara's the best runner of those guys. Best player runners.
You know the interesting thing about Kamara, which you wouldn't think because he's not a big back. At least at week 14 or 15, he had the highest percentage of broken tackles in the NFL for running back.
You know what, though, Tony? I've always had a theory on the broken tackles. If a guy gets an arm on you, is that a broken tackle?
I don't know how they do it. It's just, but you figure if they're doing it the same for everybody, Pete.
Right.
If he has the highest percentage.
Yeah. Because he probably with his ability to slash and cut, people only get arms on him. But
he shakes guys off.
They count those as broken tackles.
Watching the tape of him is so impressive. I mean, he makes people miss. He's shifty. Sure. He's explosive. So,
and he's an airback in an era where you want an airback. You know me. I'm a big airback guy. You know, was it you that made the mention last week about Grant, Tony?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't he have got been a guy that maybe got a couple carries?
He got one carry.
Yeah.
I would give him 10 carries a game. That's me.
Right. I'm with you. The change of pace. Give him some speed.
He's fast. He makes people miss. Put him in there.
Jalen Ramsey put the exclamation point on the defensive gem yesterday for this Jaguars team.
Are you changing? Is that your way of changing subjects?
Yeah.
I don't think.
Because we started with Jalen Ramsey.
I know, but I don't think.
By the way,
it doesn't matter.
I'm coming in on Wednesday. Why? I'm coming in on Wednesday to do a story on those guys.
Are you really?
Yeah.
On the defense.
Hopefully on Jalen and Boye how they're going to play Brown.
And Smith-Schuster. Don't forget about him. He's pretty dang good, too.
Yeah, but Brown is the guy, though.
No, obviously, idiot. I mean, we know that.
You know what you do? The bottom line is I want to go back and watch the tape from the first game. He gave up the one long play, but I don't remember him giving up a lot of stuff.
You know what Brown's numbers for that game, Pete, were?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Actually. 10 for 154.
It was a good day.
Yeah. But what did he get? He got the 50 on the first play, right?
Yeah.
10 for 157 on 19 targets.
What was the first one? It was the long.
It was long. The long was probably 50.
Long was 49.
Plus. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that was the first play. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So, better play yesterday. Ramsey or Colvin on the picks?
Ramsey.
Colvin's wasn't bad either, by the way.
But he didn't break up the pass. He got off a tip. That was broken up by That was broken up by Miles Jack. Heck of a play by
It was
Colvin.
A flu game for Colvin.
Heck of a game by I mean heck of a catch by Colvin and gutsy for him to suck it up and fight and play as long as he could. Patman had to finish off and Patman had a nice pass breakup at the end of the game there as well. But that play was initiated by Miles Jack. But
right from the tip ball.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey's pick was unreal. Unreal.
You know what play that Jalen Ramsey made that goes unnoticed is he got him 3 points at the end of the half when he came off.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the play I talked about earlier, Pete. Third and eight.
Yeah, that was
he sits at he's playing the sticks. They catch a 7 yard out and he comes up and hammers them, gets them off the field. The kid's amazing.
He's a willing tackler too, unlike a lot of corners in the past.
He's a willing tackler when he wants to be. There are some games where. He never shies away, but he's not as aggressive as he is other times. When he wants to, he hits like a strong safety.
He's good.
He's a big guy.
AJ Boye is good. I feel AJ Boye is really good.
And getting overlooked.
Really yeah.
He's forgotten about. Any other team, he's.
But he got a vote from me in the All-Pro voting, too, by the way.
Did he?
Yeah, I didn't put it. I put it, you have to pick three. Two starters in like the third corner. I made him my third corner. So
who was your two starters?
Xavier Rhodes and I think it was Xavier Rhodes and Jalen.
Where'd you put Casey Hayward?
Or did I? No, I went Jalen. That's right, I did. I went Jalen Ramsey and Casey Hayward. I left Rhodes off. That'll give angry people mad.
You left Rhodes off, huh?
You know what? Rhodes tailed off a little bit. Casey Hayward was as good as any of them, by the way. And I voted for Calais Campbell, so those guys did get my vote.
Yeah, his day yesterday, Marcel Darius had another start yesterday and played well against his former team.
No, I mean, you give up 3 points, old defense played well. It's not a shock, JP.
The one run to McCoy, on the one around the right end, it looked like Telvin didn't react right away to the – remember what I'm talking about? He had like a 13, 14-yard run around the right end over there.
No, I'm trying to remember.
What was his long run, JP?
He had a screen. I know that. This is the only one I really remember.
Talking about Shady?
Yeah. Didn't he have a long – like a 14, 13-yard run around the right side?
Yeah, Shady – a long run was 25 for Shady.
No, that one I remember. That was – yeah. But it looked like Telvin – got caught up in the trash or whatever, or didn't react over to what? What was Paz's injury, by the way?
It's like a hip injury. They said.
Reported during the game a hip. I'm trying to remember the long run. I don't even remember it.
It wasn't really a long. I mean, it was like a
25. No, but there's 25-yard run. Do you remember the 25-yard run?
Maybe that's the one I'm
thinking
of.
That was in the third quarter. That was the 25-yarder.
I don't remember it. I watched it twice.
McCoy had a 12-yarder up the middle in the second quarter.
I remember that.
10-minute mark.
How many yards did he rush for?
75.
On how many carries?
19. on a bad wheel?
I mean,
that's
what I'm talking about.
And he had 44 yards receiving, too,
I mean, that kid is – he's special. And that – I mean, that's a special back. And
correct.
And that's what you need.
Second-round pick.
I mean, you need – I mean, that's what great running backs do. When you think about the great running backs in this league, that's what they do. They
Bell, Pittsburgh.
I mean, they find creases. There doesn't have to be – this is. I used to tell Brudell this when he played quarterback. I said anybody can sit back in the pocket and pick apart a defense if there's zero pressure, if it's a perfect pocket all the time. I said so. Don't complain about pressure every once in a while because the great ones figure out how to do it when there's pressure. And it's no different from. Oh, I remember that run now.
We just saw it on Jaguars.com.
Do it again.
Replay
that.
That's the
one
I was talking about.
Max, replay it again.
Yeah, that's the one. Telvin Smith doesn't get over, I don't think.
Yeah, Telvin's late. He hesitates.
Yeah, right there.
Yep, I remember that now. But great back. But Pete, to my point, great backs. Anyone can run when there's gaping holes. It doesn't It doesn't take great backs to run through gaping holes. Great backs find the creases and turn the 1 or 2 yard gain into 5 or 6. They turn the 8 yard gain, 10 yard gain into 20-yard gains.
You know, it's like when – what's his name? Toby Gerhardt was there. I used to call him the Magic Man because he would turn 10-yard runs into 3-yard runs.
I'll leave it at that.
We'll come back.
Hey, one quick thing. That run right there, wasn't Telvin Smith at middle linebacker on that play?
Well, he will sometimes line up in the middle based on the front. So if they overload, let's say, tight ends or something, they'll adjust the personnel because they drop the safety down. And so the safety becomes like an extra linebacker.
Was it the safety? Oh, in that situation, the safety was down? Because there was a couple times it looked like he was actually lined up at middle linebacker.
Yeah, because if they bossed the backers over, they bossed them strong and dropped the safety down weak.
When we return, Yannick Ngakoue's tweet and the response today by the Buffalo Bills. And
what controversy.
Yannick said in the locker room today. Coming up, the Jags in Pittsburgh this week against the Steelers. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, he said what he said yesterday, and like I said before, we had a great team win yesterday, and I said what I needed to say yesterday, so that's really what I was said. I just feel like people needed to know, you know, what happened yesterday, so that's why I said what I said.
Was it a recurring thing, or was it a one-time thing, or what?
I mean, you know, it was 22 players on the field yesterday. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person, you know, that heard stuff, so it's cool.
They were really trying to, you know, get us to lose a cool, trying to get penalties. No, I think that was there was a lot of guys talking, you know, like as if it was coached to try to get us to lose a cool so we can get a 15-yard penalty. You know, I think that's, you know, because we're going to have to deal with it because we've shown that, you know, we can, you know, be a little too aggressive at times, you know, and so I feel like, you know, we may not go too far, though. You know, I mean, I understand, you know, wanting to, you know, try to, you know, I mean, give yourself an advantage, you know, if you see somebody and trying to egg them on, you know, to try to get a penalty, I understand that, but there's boundaries, you know, you don't go to a race with somebody. That's not okay.
Yannick Ngakoue started that off, his response today after tweeting out after the game for number 64 for Buffalo. It's Richie Incognito about racial slurs used during the game. And then Calais Campbell following it up today as well. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. A lot made up after that tweet last night.
Yeah, I mean, if Richie said something racially, I mean, obviously you shouldn't do that. It's of my opinion. If I was Yannick, I would have said anything via Twitter or anywhere else because it becomes a distraction. Because now the story, now the league's looking into it. Now you're going to get interviewed by the league. Now you have the Bills player saying out, we never heard him say anything. And I played next to the guy all year. He's never said anything racial. And, you know, you're going to have Yannick's going to say, well, he said this. And, you know, it's a distraction. We're playing Pittsburgh in the playoffs. There's only 8 teams left. I don't want to say who cares, because if it was racially insensitive or a racial slander, there's no place anywhere for that. And I'm sure it ticked off Yannick. and rightfully so. But I just hate that it's the distraction. I don't think you – it becomes a story that you don't want to worry about as a player. It's my opinion. I would have left it alone. I'll say this. The things that have been said to me on the football field, the only time I ever said anything in the media about someone doing something on the football field to me was when they spit on me. And that was it.
Who spit on you? I don't remember that.
Dale Carter, the corner from the Broncos.
That's right. Now you're punk.
I'd like to kick his.
What did you do to deserve that?
I blocked him out of bounds.
Oh.
Continuously.
That'll do it.
Look.
And I think he might have made a racial – by the way, he might have made a racial slur towards me as he spit on me.
By the way, Richie Incognito, if he said it, it should be reprimanded if he said it. But it sounds like to me it's a he said, he said. His teammates going to take up for him, and Gagwe's teammates heard it. So, but look, Richie's been in a situation before. He's been in the spotlight. If he said it, he's a moron. I mean, you should never say that anyways, but Richie Incognito, of all people, after what he's been through?
Yeah, it's not smart. But, Pete, don't you agree that
– But he's been – remember that whole thing, though? There was accusations of racial slurs in that thing, too.
I'm not saying I don't believe in Yannick. I'm just saying from – it becomes a distraction, Pete, don't you think?
Nah.
You don't?
You were the one last week who said – you don't believe any of that stuff matters, so.
No, I did. No, I said – I actually amended it a little bit because then I thought back to stories where it did get me a little ticked off and maybe gave me a little oomph finishing things. And we both agreed maybe post-whistle it does mean something. So you don't think it's a distraction if all of a sudden Yannick has to spend an hour on the phone with the league this week talking about what happened?
Well, it won't be an hour, but – might be 15 minutes. No.
That's not a distraction.
Now, we'll say the locker room.
Well, maybe tomorrow on his day off, he'll talk to the league office. That's a distraction?
Okay,
Tony?
And then he says something, and Richie said no, and then they're going to do an investigation, and they're going to talk to other players from both teams, and they're going to go about it.
Correct.
So that doesn't become a distraction the week of a playoff game.
Maybe.
Yes, it does.
I will say the locker room opened today at 11:30 sharp. He was the first one in there. Got it done, talked to the media, and it was done in about 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, but it's been in the papers. Right. The league has now said it's going to investigate it. And so it's going to be investigated.
So,
I mean, if Richie said it, like Pete said, he's an idiot, and there's no place for it, and he should be whatever the fine or whatever the deal is. There's no place for that in the game.
I'm kind of with Pete, though. It's going to be tough to prove.
I agree. I think it's going to be very difficult to prove.
No officials heard it.
I guess, and listen, it's different, and I'm not – I've been called so many different poor things on a football field.
You've been called some things in this room right here,
and
too.
And things have been said on a football field, while maybe not towards me, towards other people, that you're just like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, like when you were playing, it was a lot worse.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, no doubt.
And guess what? You just went and played the game. I mean, you didn't think about it. You maybe took a shot at the guy the next time you got a chance.
Blocked him out of bounds.
Even back in the day, Tony, back in like even high school football, guys talked smack that you couldn't do anymore.
So
right?
Yeah.
I mean, in high school football, didn't you talk smack like nasty stuff at guys?
I never said anything. No curse words or any poor words on the field, Pete.
You're a liar.
I was a gentleman at all times. Is it a big distraction? No. Does Yannick have every right to say what he did? Absolutely. Should he be offended by something like that? Absolutely.
Yes.
Personally, I wouldn't have said anything, but I'm
not
Yannick.
Why didn't he give him a smack in the head? That's what I would have done.
I would have taken care of it in the course of the game.
The old Deacon Jones smack to the head.
When did it happen, by the way? Did it happen after that hit on Tyrod Taylor?
I don't know.
He said it was during it wasn't after that. He was asked that specifically today. He said it was after a pass rush. He couldn't remember which one.
He has every right. There's no place for the game. There's no place for anywhere for racial slurs, by the way. And I just don't think I would have said anything because I didn't. I just like I don't want to deal with it. I want to worry about Pittsburgh. That game's over. But it is what it is. And if Richie said it, maybe they'll find out a way to prove it, and he'll be dealt with.
All right, guys, we'll come back. Second hour of Jaguars Money right around the corner. The Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Get your questions in for Big Bo.
Yes. Hurry up.
We'll see if we can answer one tonight. Pete Prisco with us down in South Florida. Your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL-1. Phone lines are open. And it's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Everything is a concern when you want to play better, you know what I'm saying, when you don't play well. You know, we collectively, everyone, it starts with me to Coach Hackett, to the assistant coaches, to the players. We've got to do a better job, you know, and, you know, we've got to do a better job starting today. We've got to do a better job tomorrow. And, I mean, that's really a – I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but – you know, it's not like it's one area. You know, we've got to pick it up in all the areas and do a better job offensively.
There's the head coach, Doug Marrone, today in a press conference. He was asked about Blake Bortles and the receivers, and that was the answer. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Your call.
Tony, did the receivers win at all? His headphones not on, is it?
Hey, Tony, why don't you pay attention to the show?
I'm
Tony. We're on the air. Here we go. Here we go. Pete's talking to you. Here we go.
Sorry,
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah.
I was tweeting something.
Yeah, that's
Tony,
important.
Tony, on the tape, did the receivers get open at all?
Yeah, at times. I mean, there was stuff there. I mean, how many times did they drop back and pass anyways? I mean, how many attempts did Blake end up having? The whole second half he ran. Well, he threw only had five attempts in the second half, Pete.
Yes, he was 12 of 23 for the day.
I mean, five attempts in the second half. That's all you need to know. Mm. And 23, there was four screens. So there's 19 pass attempts.
Yeah, and a couple of them were little
swing routes.
Play out of the back, the Bohannon play out of the backfield.
Naked. Yeah, I mean, they threw nothing down the field. I thought there were some chances that with one-on-one coverage down the field they could have taken a chance. You had 50-50 chance balls where who knows what's going to happen. They just didn't do it.
Did he have – was it Marquise on the left post one time deep?
I think it was Marquise. Yes, that's the one I'm thinking off the top of my head. I thought the protection was above average. Wasn't great, but it was fine. He was just off. He wasn't good. I mean, passing was great, running, outstanding, gamer. I mean, sucked it up, figured it out, got it done. But passing, my goodness.
Did you see my tweet that I sent out? You probably didn't. You guys were working. You probably didn't see my tweet I sent out during the game. Russell Bortles.
I saw it. I saw your tweet, Pete.
Leave it to you.
How about that was, I think, only the fourth time in the NFL since the 1950s that a quarterback has rushed for more yards than he's threw.
Yeah, third time in the Super Bowl era that's happened.
Third
Mike
time.
Vick in 04.
Michael Vick.
Bob Greasy.
And,
Greasy in 73. And there were two like in the 30s, I think 1937 or something. Yeah,
that's unreal.
Yeah.
That's not a good stat to have, by the way.
If you win, it's better, but...
That's why it's pretty good. Pretty good today,
Tony. Hey, should we go through the Pro Football Focus?
Yes, we should.
Yes, let's do it.
We haven't done that in a while, and I'm sure the defense will be good. The offense might have some question marks.
Offensively, let me predict how many guys you have in green. I would say two.
There's three, actually.
Okay, three. I would say Can, Linder, Omame. They'll probably make D.D. Westbrook one though too.
Nope. Nope, it's Can, yes.
Okay.
Parnell and Koyak.
What, because he caught one touchdown pass?
How many plays was he on the field?
They had Koyak as a good run block.
Yeah, I would disagree with that.
Okay. Then Linder was positive.
I mean, he was
positive.
Average.
Linder was positive.
Yep.
But, like, almost in the green, but he was all green. He was green in the run blocking.
Yeah,
Did he have a good day run blocking?
Yeah, I thought he was good in both. I thought he was green.
Okay. Okay, and then
Cam was the left side green.
Cam was the highest rated offensive player, Tony.
Yeah, AJ Cam, he played well. Parnell, I thought fine. That's surprising me. He gave up the sack on a bad set at the end of the half, but I thought he was fine.
1.7. They gave him a high grade in the run game.
Okay, Let me go.
Lowest rated offensive lineman was Cam Robinson.
Yes, I would have said that. I bet your Mercedes grade was low run blocking.
Bad.
Low.
Run blocking.
Low.
In the deep in the minus. What happened to him?
It was bad. I don't know. Well, it hasn't been good the last couple of weeks.
But everybody else was in playing no minus, no green. Omame was a minus. You gave him a positive, huh, Tony?
I said no. I would have said like zero. Like
even.
Flat.
Yeah.
Gave him flat. A big grade in pass protection.
They had some issues on that side and some twist issues, twist game issues. I would have given him. I would have given him a zero. Hmm. What about the receivers? Well, the fact that Hearns, Lee, and Keelan Cole had zero catches, so they couldn't
all
have been
minus.
They couldn't have been that bad. I mean,
they're all minus.
They had one target each.
They only had one. How can it be a minus? They didn't get an opportunity.
Not major minuses, but minuses.
Blake Bortles, minus.
Major minus.
Leonard Fournette.
Positive in the run game, though.
Leonard Fournette, major minus.
Yep, I would agree.
All right, so you're okay with him this week. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball.
Mm.
There are surprisingly three minuses.
I would go minuses for Blair Brown.
No, he's a minus, but not major minus. I'm talking about three red minuses.
Well.
Like you know what that means, Tony.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Major red, major minus.
Yeah,
he knows. We've been doing it long enough.
Dante Fowler.
Yes.
Miles Jack.
No. One of them only played 13 snaps. They gave a positive minus grade.
Okay. Who else?
And then the other one, Yannick.
He didn't do much.
Lowest rated defensive player in the game was for the Jaguars was Yannick.
He had maybe a couple of pressures, but he didn't do much. I thought Deion Dawkins was good.
Run defense minus big minus grade for Yannick.
Yeah, he did not do much.
Highest rated player on defense.
One of the three guys. It has to be Ramsey, Telvin, or Clayus.
It's Clayus.
Yep.
By a lot.
He was dominant. First three quarters. The whole game, he was dominant.
And
he's so disruptive. He gets more pressure one-on-one. I mean, if he's one-on-one blocked, he's the one who gets the most pressure.
They credit him with four quarterback hits, four quarterback hurries, two assists, two tackles, and four stops.
Wow.
Jalen's the second highest rated.
Yep.
Pretty darn high, too, by the way. And the third highest rated is Miles Jack.
Hmm. I thought Telvin played better than Miles Jack.
Telvin played better in pass coverage. It said Miles played better in the run game.
Yeah, I thought Miles was good. I mean, I was guessing on negatives just because PFF usually does not like Miles Jack. So I was trying to hit one out of the park. I would have given him a slight positive. I thought he was good. I thought he played very well.
Tony, what's wrong with Cam Robinson?
His footwork is not very good right now. That's his biggest issue. His feet are all out of sorts.
What, does he get them too close together? Too
no,
far
he just
them?
Does. He steps under himself in the run. Sometimes he oversets. He gets his weight outside, so he gets all out of sorts in the pass. And he's short. He doesn't get his feet going and try to expand the on the front side runs to him. He just kind of turns. So he's got a this off season. It's right now. Just go fight. And the one thing I love about him, he fights his tail off. He's got to get through the season, and then he's got to go back to the fundamentals, foundational stuff of his footwork. That is so critical for him this offseason.
Hey, Cam, message to you. There's a left tackle in that building that might be going to Canton next in a couple of weeks. You might want to lean on him for a little bit of advice.
But Cam says that he does talk to you some.
Yeah, we talk. But we talk. Friendly during the season. I mean, right now, this is not a point for me to say anything.
But in the offseason, you could take him out to the field and work with him
my
a little bit.
My guess is Cam will do it. Cam has been very open. Let me make no mistake. I mean, Cam is not a guy who's standoffish. I mean, every time we see each other, we say hi to each other. I really like Cam. I think, just because he's not playing great, he's not playing up to his potential right now, I still think he has an opportunity to be a dominant perennial Pro Bowl left tackle in this league. He's just got to clean up. And I'm sure in the offseason, I'm more than happy to, and I'm sure he'll be open to it, and we'll talk and we'll figure it out. But right now, I mean, Flaherty is a very good coach and is doing a good job with him. You got Tony Sperano Jr. You got good coaches over there. I promise you they're addressing it. But also, you get into this time of season, you know, there's only so much time, and, you know, and you don't want to cloud him with too much stuff. So Flaherty can handle it, trust me. But in the offseason, my guess is I'll probably do some stuff with him. But we'll see. He's a great kid. I really like Cam a lot.
And he's got talent.
Oh,
he's
my tough. Gosh. He has so much talent, Pete.
And he's tough.
Much talent. I was thinking about the other day and watching film and watching him play. If he, and I believe he will be, if he will be a pro, and if he'll view his body and himself as a business, as an entity for the next 15 years, and say, I'm going to do everything I can to make my body and my mind and the fundamentals of my craft the most important thing, more important than traveling, more important than anything else, he will be an amazing offensive lineman. You know, God willing, he stays healthy. But he has all the tools. And you know what the one thing he has, Pete? He has a couple things you can't coach. Feet, length, size, all that stuff. He has a nastiness about him that will make him dominant if he wants to be. Got to clean up the footwork right now. He's not playing great
football.
Well,
let me ask you this. You mentioned the footwork. Does the footwork say maybe he needs to go to the other side?
No. It's not because he can't move his feet. Yeah. It's just bad, poor. It's poor technique.
All right. Because there was some talk that he would be a right tackle at some point in his career anyways. But
yeah. No, I think he's a left tackle.
Okay.
I like that Deion Dawkins, though, too, Pete. Man, he's a good player.
You know what? I watched him on tape earlier this year when they were talking about, you know, Glenn and all that. And I'm like, this kid doesn't miss a beat when he plays in there.
Nope. They got a left tackle. It would be interesting to see what they do with Cody Glenn because of him.
You got to probably let him go.
Money.
You guys ready to open the phone lines tonight a little early?
Yeah.
355-NFL-1, the number. We're going to go to the Mount Rushmore State. South Dakota gets us started tonight. Cheyenne, where are you in South Dakota?
Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh, way out west.
Is that your real name, Cheyenne, or is that your stage name?
No, that's my real name, Tony.
That's awesome. That is such a cool name.
Thanks, Matt. And before I get into what I was going to say, huge fan. I'm 30. Been watching you ever since I was a kid, so it's great to talk to you. But
hey, Cheyenne, anyone with as cool a name as you have, you can call anytime you want.
You're just lucky they didn't name after another city in Wyoming, Casper.
Anyway, so
Cheyenne, I apologize.
Forget about Pete. Don't, he's not here, okay?
My idiotic friend. I apologize.
Okay, well. So, I know the whole of Jags Nation is probably going to chew me out for saying this, but I would almost trust T.J. Yeldon more than I would Leonard Fournette at this point, because any rushing yards that we do seem to get seems to be on the edge, not up the middle.
So, T.J. was he will be, my guess, up active this week. Yeah, he was a scratch because he had the flu, right?
Yeah, he had an illness, and that's been going around a little bit.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Locker room, not the whole building.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. The .com guys in here are sick, coughing, sneezing, wheezing.
They're soft, though.
I'm starting to get a little something just from coming into that studio last week.
Logs was sick. Yeah. I was sick. Joe looks sick all the time, so I'm not sure if he is or not. You might want to get sick so you can lose some weight, JP.
That's real nice, Tony.
But yeah, Cheyenne, dear, I think Yeldon will get more. I would get Corey Grant reps. That's who I would
You've
give
been on the Grant train, man.
I have been.
But Yeldon has been out there, and he's had some flashes.
Yeldon's your third down. I like Yeldon. Listen, Yeldon's a great third down back, and they missed him. He's much better. He's better at picking up the blitz than anyone else back there. I think Yeldon is a guy who's been very productive and has helped his team. So I think he'll be back up. And my guess is Chris Ivory will be inactive.
Good. I mean, I think that either him or Grant would be a good call. So.
I think now listen, Fournette's still going to get the majority of the carries. I mean, that's going to happen.
Well, yeah, of course.
But I'm with you. A little change of pace would be good. Cheyenne, I think it's a very, very good point.
Yeah,
Absolutely, man. Great to talk to you guys. Thanks.
Hey, appreciate the call from the great state of South Dakota.
You know, we have one of our biggest fans in studio today, too, JT.
Yeah, I know. He just followed me on Twitter, too.
Kyle?
Yeah,
he's a big fan.
I've known him for years. And
he watches every Monday night.
From the equipment room, yeah.
Well, I think he goes home. It's one of his, he can't wait to get home, but he was late getting home tonight, so he had to come in studio. So we want to welcome Kyle.
Kyle. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your calls. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1. We still have the Tony Vaselli Twitter question of the night. You got to pick one, Tony.
Oh, yeah, we'll look at him right now. I'm sure I got some.
We'll do that when we come back. Plenty to get to. Jags are headed to Pittsburgh for the divisional round. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Understand, yeah, the atmosphere is a little more crazy. And I wouldn't even say that is more on the line, because every game you're playing for the same stuff on the line is you playing for that Super Bowl to get in the playoffs, to get in this position. It was good. It was another game. And I think that's what we did a good job of, not getting too overhyped saying it's our first playoff game or a lot of our first playoff game. None of that. Guy said, this the next game. And we came out of play just like it.
Telvin Smith in the locker room after the game last night. Jags win it, 10-3 over the Bills. They're headed to Pittsburgh next week. 1:05 is the kickoff time Sunday at Heinz Field in the divisional playoff game. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco, your calls, 355-NFL1. Let's go back to the phone lines. And welcome in Steve on the north side. Play calling on your mind. Steve, good evening. Steve, you're on the air. What's up?
Great All job, right, Steve.
We'll see if you're back later. Let's go to Oak Leaf. Robert. Robert, you're on the air. What's up? Oh, 0 for 2.
Joe, what is going on here?
I think this is Joe.
What is going on here? Robert.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Holy
this
cow.
This is not Robert, by the way.
Who is this?
Hello?
It's Robert.
Robert. Y'all doing all right tonight, gentlemen?
All right, Robert. Yeah.
Yes.
A couple of quick things right quick. Tony, hope you get into the hall this year, man. Got my fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
I know you guys were talking about Cam Robinson earlier, his footwork and Leonard Fournette. Is it possible these guys done hit? I mean, this is considering that both of those guys are rookies and their season would be over by now. Is it possible that you think those guys are hitting that proverbial rookie wall? And I took your comments off the air.
Well, Cam Robinson's season wouldn't be over yet. They'd be playing the national championship.
Played 15 games a year at Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, he should be used to it. No, I don't think
make
that's
$90 million a year in football at Alabama.
So, no, I
that's great, Pete.
I don't buy. I mean, and Leonard Fournette had a bunch of games off this year, so I think he played 12 games. So I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Yeah, but you know what? On the broadcast, though, Romo was talking about that Fournette was telling him how long the season felt to him.
Yeah, your rookie year is always long mentally. I remember because you go right from combine to OTAs to mini camps, and you get a little bit of time off, and you have training camp, and you have the long preseason, everything else. But let's remember, Fournette did not really play in the he played one preseason game a quarter. Sit out the rest of the time. He's played 12 football games this year.
Yeah, he should be fresh.
I mean, that cannot be an excuse, in my opinion.
I agree.
Just me.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody keeps tweeting me, asking me why Keelan Cole wasn't used more yesterday.
Because they didn't throw the ball to him, Hearns, or Lee. I have no idea.
Wasn't he on the bench a bunch? What was his snap count?
I don't know what a snap count is. I was surprised they started Didi and Lee and not Lee and Keelan Cole, but that might have to do with one of them. Keelan Cole was because there's an X and there's a Z receiver. And
formation.
Maybe,
that might have been on.
Yeah, maybe.
He played 32 snaps, Keelan Cole. Hearns played 30. Lee played 35. And Didi Westbrook played 35.
So it's all about the same. They just rotated.
They threw it to him once.
Yeah, no catches. I don't know why. He's done a nice job this year going deep. He has a very high yards per catch. I mean, take a shot down the field to him.
Right, which goes back to the play calling again. It was bad play calling.
Conservative.
No sugarcoating it.
I didn't.
It's bad.
Okay, I did not like the game plan either, so I'll go with you. I disagreed with it 100%.
Right. It reminded me, what game was it that they played? Oh, the Rams game.
Yes. when they played the 6-2 defense.
6-2 stack monster from all the right moves.
6-2 stack monster.
Georgievich. Cruz was playing corner in that game.
And we never threw it. They played zero coverage, and we decided to run into it. Yeah. It was similar.
Let's go back to the.
By the way, no matter what happens this weekend, Jacksonville will be one of the six teams left standing.
That's
think
right.
About that.
That's awesome.
Before the season, if you would have said that, sign the dotted line on that one, everybody would. All you guys would have signed it.
No, if you said the beginning of the year you're going to end up 11-7 and losing in the second round of the playoffs, you'd be like, well, okay, we'll take it. Now, hopefully,
but
they
now
win.
That they're there,
no, you want to win.
That they're there, right?
You want it. I mean. And they should want it, and they should go win it. And I think they can win it, by the way. I really do think they can go to Pittsburgh and beat that team. With this defense, you can get some turnovers.
You're waving pom-poms right now.
So you don't think they can win?
They'll have to take the ball away a bunch.
Okay, what did I just
– No.
Pete, that's what I just said, you idiot. You are sometimes such a moron.
I don't care if they take the ball away a bunch. No, if they take the ball away a bunch and they're going to play that style they played last week, they're still not winning the game.
I would agree with you, but I don't think they will play that style, and I do think they'll take it away, and I think they – I might just pick it right now.
Are you going to lock it?
Lock it.
Tony, lock it.
You locked last week and then took it back, so it doesn't count.
I know.
We can't unlock
a lock. That's why we won, because I unlocked it.
You can't unlock a lock, though. Once it's locked, it's forever locked.
We're going to
lock it.
We're going to win 2017.
Wow.
Is it a lock?
No, it's not a lock. 2017. Locked?
So I'm going to send that
three,
out all over the country.
Three
former
turnovers.
Jaguar legend, now almost in the Hall of Fame, guarantees victory.
Yeah, I'm not guaranteeing anything. I didn't guarantee anything. I said that's my
That'll
opinion.
Grab some headlines.
Yeah, do not do that, please.
Jaguar please. Employee Tony Mazzelli guarantees victory.
Jaguars insider.
please don't do that. Pete, you and I will no longer be friends.
I bet Tom would love to see that.
I get called in.
By the way, I know we got to go to break, but you guys probably didn't see Tony Khan doing his dance yesterday.
Oh, I
you?
Saw it.
How could you not see
Twitter.
It? It was all over Twitter.
Come on.
What? I mean, the best thing is Coughlin just sitting there like what? Like charting plays.
Who knows? But, so, Pete, you don't think there's any chance they win?
No, there's a chance. There's
That's
a chance.
All I'm saying.
I think it's going to be. I personally, I've talked to a lot of guys in my building and stuff the last couple of days. I personally think it's going to be a lot closer than most everybody I'm talking to thinks it's going to be a blowout. I don't see that.
No.
I think they're occupying real estate in Ben Roethlisberger's head. If he's already talking about it, they're in his head.
I agree. And, Pete, this defense is not going to get blown out. I do not see
only
that happening.
No, but not only that, Tony, he holds the ball. And when Jacksonville, the one thing that's hurt Jacksonville this year, I thought, was Garoppolo got the ball out. He holds the ball. I think that's an opportunity to get some of those takeaways and some of those sacks.
And, yeah, this defense is – I think they're going to take it away. And here's one thing, Pete. I could see, because you had Ben Roethlisberger coming out, I'll show you that I'm not the 5-interception guy. And you know Todd Haley, and I can see his, you know, he has a little bit of arrogance to him. And him and Ben getting together and saying, we'll show them about that secondary. And we're going to go right after them, and we'll be aggressive, and we'll throw it down the field. And I could see that little bit of, you know, pride coming in, seeping in, and them trying to prove a point. And it'll come back to him. And if they do, it's not very smart. It'll come back to bite them, because this secondary will turn you over. And that rush, if you hold the ball, will get there. And create turnover. So, I really think this Jaguar team can win. Now, am I guaranteeing it? No. Am I locking it? No. Am I probably hoping right now more than I'm sure of it? Yes.
If they come out,
am I probably
series,
a little bit of a Homer fan right now? 100%.
Yes,
yes,
you are. If they come out in the first series and go run, first two plays, game's over.
I'll leave.
You're going to walk out.
I'll just call it.
See you on the bus.
See you on the bus.
Okay. One more call.
Well, then JP can come off the bench again.
Yeah, and then if you're listening, you'll think it's a Pittsburgh Steeler broadcast because he cheers for them, opposing team just as much.
Stop it. Steve on the north side, get us out of this break. Steve, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, the first caller touched on one of my questions, which was...
Well, I hope you have two, then.
it was about them using Corey Grant. But what do you guys think about them blitzing a little more? I think they kind of need to blitz a little more.
I thought they blitzed more yesterday. They brought five quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like they need to blitz.
Better be careful. You better be careful blitzing Ben.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That's very true. With Ben, but I think with how they did yesterday, I think that was pretty good. I think we need to dial it up a little bit.
So, what's your question? Because
the question was
you're stumped a little bit because someone asked your first question.
No, the question was, do y'all think they need to blitz more?
Oh, do I think? I think the way their percentage of blitz is fine. The one thing is, if you do blitz Ben, it's not like he's Ben Roethlisberger or Phillip Rivers that makes the quick decisions and kills you right away with it. But with those receivers, especially Antonio Brown, I mean, if the blitz does not get home and he is allowed to, and we've seen at times the five-man blitz get, you know, a little bit of delayed pressure, that's where you put a lot of stress on that secondary. So I think the amount of blitzes that Todd Wash is dialing up right now is just fine.
What do you think, Pete?
I sometimes think they should play more aggressive man, but that's, you know, instead of off man, play more press man, but that's just me. I mean, you do that against the Steelers, you might give up a big play or two, but I think in this game against the Bills, and they had they did a great job.
They gave up 3 points, Pete. I mean, come on.
I know, but come on. Tyrod Taylor was, as bad as Blake Bortles was on Sunday, Tyrod Taylor was just as bad.
Now you're just being a jerk.
You don't think Tyrod Taylor was bad?
No, I thought, he was really bad.
So why am I being a jerk then?
Because you're nitpicking about them giving up 3 points.
I've told you that all year. I think that at times I think they could line up and play more. Remember, and you'll remember this team because you're old like I am, but remember when the Dolphins had that great defense with Madison and Surtain?
Yep.
And they would just go press you all over the field?
How'd that work out against us with Jimmy and Keenan? They gave up 28.
You see Jimmy and Keenan on these teams?
On the Pittsburgh? Yeah, I think I have.
Antonio Brown's better than Jimmy?
No, but I mean, you're saying Antonio Brown, it's a different player, but not comparable to Jimmy Smith?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
There's nobody on a lot of teams like that, though, and they don't do it at all.
There's one on this week's team that they're playing.
We're just talking about, Pete. We're not talking about Buffalo. Can we go to break?
You wouldn't put Ramsey on him and press him?
I would put Ramsey on him, and they'll put Ramsey on him in man, but I'd change the coverage up. I'd press him sometimes. I think Jalen plays great off man. You're going to run some zone. I'd give him different looks. You're not just going to line up and press man all day against Antonio Brown.
Well, because the reason I say that is because you can bring that safety down and stop Bell. Is Tony reading?
Yeah,
please let him read.
We'll see how
this
goes.
There's no way he's making it through it. No way he makes it through it.
All right, let's try this. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi. Take that, Pete. Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today for the details.
You added some words.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't bad, but he kind of had the wrong.
The
inflection was not right. The inflection.
Yeah. All right, let's
not,
do it again.
No. We'll come back.
Check out
Jack Hannity is Audi. Jack Swanblanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today. Get the details.
By now, it's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
That's our goal every series, is to put up points, and you know we understand that, and we know that, you know, obviously our defense is a great defense, but we also have to score to win. Yeah, we still have that confidence and we still feel that way, and we know we can get it going this week.
Brandon Linder in the locker room today. Jaguars Monday, JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. Jags win. They're going to Pittsburgh for the divisional round Sunday, Heinz Field. We'll go to the Tony Vaselli Twitter question of the night coming up. Let's get one more phone call in tonight. Bob in Fleming Island on the line. Bob, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. I recently read an article on the Internet. I think it was by Pro Football Focus that it was one of those articles you see all the time. It says, here's one player every team should go after in the offseason. And they were predicting that the Dallas Cowboys was going to make a strong effort to sign Allen Robinson. And I was wondering, would we really let Allen get away?
Well, he's going to be a free agent, so unless you franchise
him. If he gets to free agency, they can sign him before that.
No, but I'm saying, I mean, if they do not sign him before the season's over, and that article is referring to guys who are, if they become free agents, who are they going to go after? If he's a free agent, it's an open market and anyone can sign him.
Yeah. I would sign him if I was Jacksonville. And the reason I say that, Tony, because they have so many little guys now, the quick little guys, that they need a big physical guy.
If you're Allen Robinson, would you sign here, Pete?
It depends what they – I mean, they got to give me a decent deal. But remember, he's coming off an ACL. It's not like he's – I don't think –
he's not getting top money, is he?
A mega deal.
So let me ask you a question.
And the Dallas thing, that doesn't make sense to me because the Cowboys already have a receiver who's not fast and is physical.
Well, they're going to get – they might get rid of Dez.
Well, that's a whole other – if they get rid of him, that's another story.
So let me ask you a question. If you're Allen Robinson, the Jaguars, the Cowboys, the 49ers, and let's say those three teams. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anyone else. Mm-hmm. Those three teams offer you the exact same amount of money. Where do you go, Pete?
The Cowboys, the 49ers, and who? The Jaguars?
Yeah.
I'd stay put.
Wow.
There's no state income tax in Texas and in Florida, too, but there is in California. It eliminates them.
No, let's say all the money works out. At the end of the day, your paycheck's going to be the same. Where do you go?
I'd still stay. Well, the question is, yeah, who's going to be catching
does the quarterback
catching
situation
from next year?
Yeah, what's the quarterback situation going
to
be?
I was waiting for how long it would take you guys to figure that out.
Well, I was waiting for you to make your point.
My point is, I think if you're Allen Robinson, you got to sit back and see what the situation is.
Well, but will because he know the situation by the time it's time to sign his free agent contract?
Yeah, because by the first league year, by the first day of the league year, they have to make a decision on Bortles, and if he's on the roster, then he's your quarterback. He's going to be making $19 million.
But if he's not, if they make that decision, then he might have to sign his contract without knowing who the quarterback
That's
is.
That's right.
But if Bortles is it?
If Bortles is the quarterback, do you come back? Because not, and this is no slight against Blake, but this is the fact that you are going to be a run first, heavy run football team. The passing game is going to be secondary. That's the style.
I would be concerned about that. I might.
And this has nothing to do with Blake, by the way. Nothing to do with Blake.
No. You're talking about the style of offense they play, where if you go to San Francisco, you can play in Shanahan's offense, and you're going to be a featured receiver getting a lot of throws. If you went to Dallas, although they don't throw – Dallas doesn't really want to throw
Dallas is probably more like Jacksonville. Just interesting. So I hope he comes back. I think Allen's a very good player. He's coming off an injury. You do the research. Most guys at his age – it's not an issue. Come back. Should be fine. You know, he's a good young player. So I would try to sign him back. But he's most likely going to be if I'm Allen Robinson, I don't sign a deal before free agency. I'll tell you that much right now.
You just let it go in.
Yep. Absolutely.
See what comes your way, I guess, right?
I would. Pete, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd see what comes my way.
I'd go free.
Now, if they gave me a contract that was, you know, my agent looked at it and said, hey, this is better than what you're going to get anywhere else, then I might sign it.
Typically, if you're a free agent, a young player who has talent, you're going to get overpaid.
True. Tony Baselli, Twitter question of the night has come in. CRen1003 on Twitter. Who was the most underrated player from the game yesterday?
So this is a great question.
Can I give you my answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
The punter.
The last couple were not
ideal,
right?
See the last couple, Pete? He averaged 30 yards, 2.8 hang time in the middle of the field when it counted the most.
Yeah, but early in the game,
Pete,
he was the guy.
Yeah,
I'm kind of with you, Pete. Early in the game, he had some big punts.
That's great. Right? Pete, when it mattered the most – middle of the field, 2.8 hang time.
Yeah, I guess. You got to take that off. The demerits.
Yeah, okay.
So who's the most most underrated player then would be?
I'm going to go with a guy who only played half of the second half, Tyler Patman.
He was good when he was in there.
Or he had to come in. Or maybe it was the whole second half.
It was when Colvin was out.
Yeah, whenever Colvin went out with the flu, he couldn't go any longer. A guy who has not been asked to play very much at all this year and not asked to do much outside of special teams, came on and played very well, made some nice plays, stepped up in a big way. I thought Tyler Patman, I'm not saying he was the best player, but something that is not getting the recognition I think probably he should, especially we're showing a play right now, big third down play with a pass breakup in a critical time of the football game. I thought Tyler Patman did a good job being ready when he was called on.
Is that a good sign moving ahead if Coleman's not around in the future? I know it's a long way away.
You try to draft a guy third, fourth round this year as a young corner too. Okay. But, yeah, Patman's a guy.
He's an
sure.
option if he's going to play like that all
the time.
Absolutely
he's an option.
Yeah, sure. So, there you have it. The Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night.
We had another one that was a great question. It almost made it. Is are you going to write another book after this season if they go to the AFC Championship again?
No.
Why not?
The first
I'm not around
one,
the team enough.
The first one sold like 10 copies.
I think it was 11. You know what? You're going to laugh when I tell you this, but if you go on Amazon to buy that book now.
You can buy it still?
It's so rare. It's hard to find. It's like it's expensive.
Like how much?
That book's become the Bill Walsh book. Remember that Bill Walsh book that was only limited edition that you couldn't buy it? Have you ever heard about that Bill Walsh book that he wrote?
No.
It's like a football Bible he wrote, and it was only so many printed that it's like $300 for the book now.
How much is your book?
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to look right now. Somebody told me that.
I wonder what a signed first edition of Jags to Riches goes for now by Osher and Prisco.
$38.96.
Joe Fortunato says. $38.
See? That's expensive for a book,
what,
right?
What was it off the shelf? Like 25 bucks?
No, it wasn't that much. It was probably like 20.
And how many copies did you guys sell of that book? In
not
all seriousness.
To get our Not enough to get our bonus, or at least they fudged the numbers to get the bonus. You know what happened with that book? We wrote the book in May. It was supposed to come out before the next season started, and once it was delayed, once the next season started, nobody cared about what happened the season before. They blew it. St. Martin's Press.
How many copies do you think you sold?
Hang on. Peter, I'm wrong here. There's 8 used. From $38.95 on Amazon, new $79.45.
Wow.
Okay. There you go.
What in the world?
And you know what? I'm not getting any residuals anymore from that, so I could care less if you bought the damn book.
Did you make money on that thing, Pete?
We got advance. Me and John both got an advance on it, and then it was supposed to be X number of over the top of X, you start getting residual on it. And according to their figures, we never came close to it, and we didn't make the money. So,
there's a used hardcover edition for $108.95.
Wow. You're popular, Pete.
First edition Hemingway? What is going on here?
I mean, look.
Can you find out, Joe, can you do any research to find out how many copies were printed?
I know I had a couple in my house. I don't know if John had a box.
I bet
for
John
him,
has but. A box somewhere. I would
he brings out, he brings out and shows them to his kids every once.
No, if he knew it was $100, knowing John would sell them by now.
He'd load the market with them. Hey, we'll come back. We'll get into the wild card weekend. We'll do some research on how many of those books were printed as well. Wild card weekend and the books divisional round coming up. We'll recap it all when we return here on Jaguars Monday. Get the latest transportation news and information with Making Moves. Join the award-winning Making Moves team the first Tuesday every month. That was a terrible read on my part. Let me start over. I pulled a Tony Baselli. Get the latest transportation news and information with Making Moves. Join the award-winning Making Moves team the first Tuesday every month at 12:30 p.m. on Channel 4. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. The Jags headed to Pittsburgh this Sunday for the divisional round after the wild card win over the Buffalo Bills. Let's go around the National Football League wild card weekend. What a weekend it was. The Tennessee Titans rallied from a huge deficit at Arrowhead to beat the Chiefs 22-21. Big game from Derrick Henry, who got loose and ran effectively for the Titans in that game. Wild comeback, Pete.
Yeah, look, the bottom line is the Chiefs got away from what they were supposed to be doing. When you're up that big, give the ball to Kareem Hunt, run the football. He had 11 touches the entire game, 5 in the second half, made no sense whatsoever. Derrick Henry ran wild. Mariota's starting to play better because he's starting to run a little bit. He did that against Jacksonville, as you guys saw 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, look, the New England Patriots are 31st in the league in yards per attempt against the run. That's going to be a problem against Derrick Henry and that offensive line, which finally played like we thought it would play, Tony.
The shocking thing is, Pete, 21-3. Really, it felt like as soon as Kelsey got hurt, the whole game flipped. And up 21-3, how don't you just start running Kareem Hunt a little bit more? He didn't have enough carries. And also, with the weapons you have outside, press the ball down the field a little bit more.
And Matt Nagy got a job today as the head coach of the Bears after calling that game.
How about that, right?
He was a coaching intern
eight years ago.
Now he's the head
man.
It's
incredible.
How old
is
he?
You know what it is? He's older because he took him a while to get into the business, but he's 38. Not old, but like 39 or 38. You know what they're trying to do? Everybody's trying to replicate the Sean McVay situation. Young quarterback, get an offensive guy, young offensive guy, mold Trubisky. That's what you're trying to do.
Hire me. I can do it.
It's not that complicated, is it, Tony?
No.
Hire good coaches and delegate.
Be consistent.
Oh, by the way.
Be consistent. Hold people accountable.
And be good in game in situational coaching, which none of them are.
Well, I don't think that's a prerequisite if you look around the league.
Well, you're right. Good point.
The Falcons went to Los Angeles and knocked off the Rams 26-13.
I called it, JP. I told you.
I called it.
I did, too.
Yeah, we both did. That's
yeah,
right.
Come
we
on.
Both called it.
Atlanta,
that team is
and by the
right.
way, Atlanta's going to beat Philly this week, too. I shouldn't
yes,
say that because
are.
I'm working the game for Westwood 1. I'm not allowed to pick games.
So now I'm going to let that out.
Oh, I forgot that I did, didn't I?
So now I'm going to let that out now, too, to go with your guarantee of victory all over. We've got some good headlines out of you tonight.
First of all, I never guaranteed victory. And number two, I don't care if you say I think Atlanta's going to win.
I just sent that out on Twitter. Hall of Fame, soon Hall of Famer Tony Boselli guarantees Jaguars victory over Steelers.
Guarantees Philly loss.
In game he's doing.
In game he's calling. Throw something at him.
Right. If you did tweet, don't just say that because the Philly people.
They will, right.
They might try and unlock the booth and come in.
Yeah, I got to find my way to the – I just think Atlanta's – nothing against Philly. I just think Atlanta's the hot team right now.
Not only that, they seemed to find something a couple weeks ago against Carolina in that last game. Had to win it. Went to the Rams. Sarkisian outcoached Wade Phillips. He had a great plan for him. They ran the ball. And the other thing is, that defense, which people forget, that defense started 4 rookies last year. I thought they would take a big step forward this year, Tony. It took them a while to get going. But now, Tack McKinley's starting to rush the passer. They're good on defense. And Grady Jarrett's almost unblockable at times.
Well, he was in the Super Bowl last year, and he's an underrated.
He's been really good this year.
Underrated
too.
Three technique, and he has been. I've done a couple of Atlanta games. He's very good. I think it's the worst possible matchup Philly could have gotten. I think they were hoping for probably any other team. Although the Saints on the other side aren't, you know, any.
That would have been a tough game too.
Any day at the beach. So. Mm-mm. One thing's for sure, the NFC South is the best division in football this year. Those three teams are all very good. AFC South's not too bad as well. Two of the 4 teams left in the playoffs out of the AFC South, the stepsister of the league. But I think it's going to be I think Philly's defense is really good, and so it's not going to be easy. I think it's a close game, but I think Atlanta just is a little too much, and I don't think Philly has enough with Nick Foles.
First time their favorite, the sixth seed is favored on the road against the one seed.
Wow. How about that? By the way, the Saints held off the Panthers 31-26. How about the Cam Newton situation at the end of the game there, Pete?
I missed the end of the game. I was eating dinner.
He got hit, and then it said his visor went in his eye, and he went concussion. He didn't go into the concussion protocol. And so everybody went
crazy. I'm so tired of this concussion protocol. If the guy's ready to go back in, let him go back in.
Well, now you know how the media is on Twitter. Every football writer in America starts in on the protocol, except for me. And the reality is, all those guys that sit there and write that every week, they could give a crap if the player's okay or not. They don't care. They're making that up. You know, they're looking that way.
Here's my favorite. Here's my one thing, Pete, I'd love to know is we've come to a point now, even like if you get basically just hammered and you're not doing good, or you don't look like you're doing good. But if you were to come off and actually pass all the concussion stuff and go back in, people would still freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of because we're more worried about the optics.
Like if Kelsey passed and came back in the game,
people would have lost it.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
Tell me what you think.
You know what we're worried about, Pete?
Right.
We're worried about optics and perception. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the league's problem, too, by the way. The league's worried about the perception more than just saying, listen, this is what we do, this is football. We're going to be safe.
And
we're going to try to make it safe, and we're going to have good protocols. But guess what? It's a tough game. Things happen.
Hey, Tony.
It's not great.
Danny Cannell, who played in the league and works with me down here, Chris Nowinski, you know who he is? He's the CTE doctor.
Yes.
He sends out this tweet yesterday. Critical question. Why did Newton stay down if he didn't have a vision problem from the eye poke? If he did have a vision problem, how would anyone, including Cam, know if it was from the head hit or the visor? That's why he needed to go to the locker room for evaluation. End of story. This is what Danny Cannell tweeted to him. You probably agree with this. Every player is told by their coaches to go down at the first sign of injury so they don't have to burn a timeout. Happens all the time. Please stop diagnosing concussions without examining the player.
Agree 100%. Guess what? Because that Chris, his name's Chris Nowinski.
Yeah,
he has an agenda. Is that the guy who gets all the money from doing the studies for Boston?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Listen, let me just explain something to everybody. I'm not saying concussions are good or bad. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not saying anything about CTE. And guess what? There's a lot of stuff out there that people don't know. There's no direct correlation, and I'm not going to go back and forth. And Twitter is going to blow up with me tonight, saying I'm a Neanderthal idiot that probably it might be right. But guess what? There's a lot of work and studies that need to be done about CTE, and no one even knows exactly what causes CTE. CTE might be from lifestyle, and they don't know how many people have it. It might be from drug abuse. It could be from a lot of different things that affect the chemistry of our brains, by the way, not just concussions. That's one. Two, don't think for a second that there's not agendas in this whole thing. So there's always agendas. There's always a lot of money at play and who's getting funded for what and everything else. I'm not saying anything about Chris Nowinski, whatever his name is. I'm not saying he's not a good man trying to do good research and everything, but Danny Cannell's right. It is irresponsible to start making opinions about medical situations that you are not even in the same state as the individuals who are being diagnosed. So just quiet. There's doctors on the field. Let them do the job, and you just sit wherever you are studying, whatever you're studying, and let me know when you have a real test, a double-blind study that really is done properly that gives me real results that I can look at based on CT and other concussion issues.
I knew I'd get him on a rant, didn't I, JP?
Yeah. Pete, you disagree with me?
No, I don't.
Now you can tweet that if you want.
Hey, do the Saints beat the Vikings?
No.
Yes.
Really, Pete?
Yes. Yes. Drew Brees, Case Keenum. Drew Brees, Case Keenum. Drew Brees, Case Keenum. They beat him.
Go look at Minnesota's defense the last half of the year. Best defense in the NFL.
They're very good.
By numbers, they've overtook the Jaguars the last 2 weeks because they had about a 4 to 6 week run where they were unbelievable.
Drew Brees, Case Keenum. Drew Brees, Case Keenum.
I don't think Drew Brees is the difference. I think Alvin Kamara is the difference in that game.
By the way,
so then why are you picking the Vikings then?
Yeah,
because I like the Vikings defense. I think they carry the day.
Okay.
Hey, weather forecast in Pittsburgh: snow Saturday, 37, low of 15. Sunday, a high of 19 degrees.
What's
and
the
cloudy
temperature in Philly Saturday night? Can you let me know that? Because that's where I'm going to be.
I think it was going to be warm, and like somebody looked it up today for me and said it was going to be in the high 40s.
I'm going to drive from Philly to Pittsburgh.
Now, you might have to drive through some snow.
Philly, Saturday, 46, rain.
Ugh.
You're good.
I'm in the booth, so I don't care. But
yeah,
it's my drive I got to make. Although I'm not driving. Ross Tucker is driving me.
Is he really?
Yeah, because he's doing sideline for Westwood One in Philly, and then he's doing the booth for Westwood One in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you two, knowing you two, you're going to fill up on Philly pretzels on the way out the door so you have something to eat in the room.
I'm not going to have one carbohydrate until I get to that press box, and I'm going to kill it. I'm going to have like five pretzels.
That
three,
press box is like, it's like Philly, they might as well change steaks. The name of it to they might as well change the name of it to Carbohydrate Press Box.
I'm going to kill it, Pete. I'm not going to eat one bad thing until Saturday night. But Saturday night?
Game on.
And then
game
on the way, and then if you eat all those cheesesteaks, like you said, on something else you're going to kill is Russ Tucker in the car on the way over.
Not my problem, Pete.
Pete, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, Tony Boselli, Max Hockman, Dave DeCandis, Kyle Stillwell, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick.
Hollywood, good job today, buddy.
Tyler Wolf, too. Thanks for listening. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Roll Tide.